Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. And finally this hour, 2017 was a year that saw some legal victories for women and girls around the globe, especially in the developing world. Repression for millions of women isn't just embedded in culture. In many countries, it's enshrined in law. Megan Clement is managing editor for News Deeply's Women and Girls site. She's rounded up some of the changes that 2017 brought to countries like Lebanon and Jordan and Tunisia, which this year abolished what are known as marry your rapist laws, laws that allow rapists to escape punishment by wedding their victims.
When you think about how horrific a crime rape is, the idea of compounding that trauma by being in a way shackled to the person who has harmed you in that way is sort of truly shocking to consider. But the root of this is ideas about a woman's purity and what that means for family honor. So if you see a woman's virginity or a girl's virginity in many cases as the vessel for your family's honor, the best way when that has been broken, when she has been raped, the best way to preserve the idea that your family still has honor is to make that horrific sex act look legitimate via marriage. So that was the sort of the thinking behind it. And feminist activists in all three countries have been working for years to bring down these laws. And it's been a great boon for the movement worldwide to end these laws. And it's certainly not just in the Middle East and North African region, but Bahrain and Kuwait both currently have these loopholes on the books, as well as Palestine, Iraq, and Algeria. We see this practice happening in places as far-flung from each other as Greece and Malaysia and the Philippines.
Megan, let's go to Saudi Arabia, because the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia earned a lot of good press back in September for getting rid of their ban on women driving cars. Sort of a small move, it seemed, to get Saudi Arabia maybe one toe out of the Middle Ages with this very strange law that it had. Was all the good press worth it?
Oh, I think this was an enormous victory for the Saudi women who have been campaigning for the right to drive for so long. I think you're right in that for the Saudi authorities, this was such an easy win for them because it is so extreme. But, you know, women in Saudi Arabia, activists have been facing jail time. Some of them are in exile just for getting behind the wheel of a car. So I think, you know, all credit needs to go to those women who are now taking the fight onto Saudi Arabia's guardianship laws, which prevent women from leaving the country without the sign-off of their husband or their father or even their son in some cases, that prevent them from taking jobs, that prevent them from marrying without male permission. So, I mean, there is so much more to do in Saudi Arabia. This was a really easy thing for the king and his crown prince to get over the line so to avoid the international condemnation. But there is so much more to do there.
Let's go to Nepal now, Megan, where an ancient custom of ostracizing women who are on their periods seems to be falling by the wayside after hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
Sure. Yeah, this is the practice known as chopadi, which sees women who are menstruating or who have just given birth banished from family homes. They have to stay in sheds, often animal sheds, while they are menstruating because they're seen to be impure. There's all sorts of restrictions that can go along with that, forbidden from touching food, forbidden from touching cattle, forbidden from interacting with men. And this has been a very, very, very destructive practice for women and girls. It puts them at huge risk of contracting illnesses from sleeping in animal sheds. Being banished from the house leaves women and girls more vulnerable to gender-based violence. So it's a massive development, but all the activists who work in this area are saying that with regard to this particular ruling, implementation is going to be everything. This is such a deep-rooted practice. And in parts of Nepal, 95% of women and girls do go through this. So changing the law is one thing, but changing practices, changing people's minds about whether, and again, this is an issue of women's, in inverted commas, purity, whether people can start seeing women and girls as fully human and pure when they are menstruating or when they've given birth, that's going to be a very big psychological change for a lot of people to make.
There have been some significant legal changes in India as well for the treatment of women, particularly women who are married. Talk about that.
Oh, it's been a fascinating year for India. The Supreme Court and the High Court have been considering some really interesting cases. So in August, we saw the practice of triple talaq banned. Now, triple talaq was a practice that meant that a Muslim man could divorce his wife by saying or writing the word talaq three times. And with that, he is separated from his wife. And this was leaving women basically destitute. They had no rights of appeal for property, for money. They often lost access to their children simply because their husband had said talak three times. Now, of course, this option was not open to them if they wanted to leave their husbands. That was outlawed by the Supreme Court in August, which was a really huge victory for women's economic empowerment in the country. And then we've also seen a big debate happening around marital rape. Now, marital rape is not a crime in India currently, but in October, the court said that sex within marriage when the bride is under the age of 18 is rape. So they criminalized marital rape with women who are under 18, but they did not rule on those who are over 18. You know, this was a way of strengthening India's approach to child marriage. Child marriage is outlawed in India, but it has the highest number of child brides in the world. So criminalizing sex between a man and his wife who is a child was a start. But the issue of marital rape is being heard right now in front of the Delhi High Court. And the government itself has made a submission saying that it does not support criminalizing marital rape for fear that doing so would destabilize the institution of marriage. So activists are really watching this decision to see if women can really get equal rights within their marriages. Marital rape is so hard to deal with in any country, even when it is criminalized. So this would be a huge first step in really tackling gender-based violence in India.
Well, Megan, we've looked at changes in the law in places like Lebanon, Jordan, Tunisia, Nepal, India. We've been around the world in a sense. Let's end here at home in the United States and how things might be changing either for the better or for the worse for women here.
So, I mean, obviously, nobody needs to hear from me about what's been happening in the U.S. this year with regards to women's rights and women's standing up for their bodily integrity and their rights at work. The Me Too movement has been absolutely remarkable. And I have to say, as someone who's been working on this beat of women's rights worldwide, if you'd said to me at the start of the year that we would end the year with this truly global movement to fight sexual harassment and sexual assault at work that would encompass everything from Time Magazine's Person of the Year and bring down some of the biggest names in the biggest industries in the United States, I would have been shocked. And it has had ramifications globally. Women have been standing up everywhere from India to Kenya and saying, yes, us too. This is not just a Hollywood problem. This is not just a US problem. So that's been really remarkable to see. And I think this kind of conversation was actually kicked off in January with the Women's March, with more than 5 million people marching worldwide for women's rights in the wake of Donald Trump's election. So it's been a game-changing year, and the U.S. has been a huge part of that.
Megan Clement, managing editor of News Deeply's Women and Girls site. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you.